Is the threat of harsh economic sanctions enough for Russia to stop the clock on a potential Ukraine invasion? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Russia's military told the nation's Interfax news agency this morning it's withdrawing some troops who were conducting military exercises in districts bordering Ukraine. It quoted the country's defense ministry spokesperson as saying while a number of combat drills have concluded, some forces are still continuing large-scale exercises in the region. That report comes as German Chancellor Olaf Scholz arrives in Moscow today for a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. He's the latest Western leader to visit Moscow to try to use diplomacy to end the crisis in Ukraine. And he has a vital tool at his disposal that could deliver a severe economic blow to Russia. The Nord Stream 2 pipeline project could certainly be included in a batch of sanctions deployed against Russia if it invades Ukraine. That's according to the European Union's foreign affairs chief, Josep Borrell, who spoke to the BBC this morning.
If there is a fight between Russia and Ukraine, there is a war between Russia and Ukraine, Nord Stream 2 will not become operated. That's quite reasonable and quite clear. It doesn't mean that Nord Stream 2 will be stopped working forever. But if there is a war between Russia and Ukraine, certainly, I'm sorry to say that not only Nord Stream 2 will be affected, the whole supply gas to Europe from Russia will be affected.
Well, just moments ago, Russian state media reported President Putin acknowledged energy cooperation with Germany is a priority. The BBC's Chris Morris explains just how vital that pipeline project is for President Putin's nation.
Nord Stream 2 is kind of the new gas superhighway pipeline, if you like, between Russia and Western Europe, you know, going into Germany. And it's been a big part of Russia's energy diplomacy over the last few years to get it going. And as we know, Western Europe has yet to wean itself off those energy supplies it gets from Russia. The EU gets just over 40% of its natural gas from Russia, nearly 30% of its oil supplies. So sanctions will be painful on both ends of the pipeline. But it is something which I think is seen that would hurt Russia's economy. Although, of course, it's not as though these sanctions against Russia imposed by the West, if they were to happen, would be similar, for example, to global sanctions which are imposed on countries like Iran and North Korea. So Russia would have other places it could still sell gas, notably places like China.
And I'll get to that in just a second, but the German Chancellor hasn't categorically declared that he is willing to cut off Nord Stream 2 approval, has he? Do you think that's a tool that he could use in his meeting today with President Putin?
You're right. It's a more difficult issue for Germany. Is it something he's kind of holding up his sleeve as part of this kind of rolling negotiation that Western leaders are doing with Vladimir Putin? He comes at it from a slightly different perspective. You've got to understand that, you know, while the United States doesn't do that much trade with Russia directly, Western Europe does an enormous amount. So in a sense, the economic stakes for countries in Western Europe and particularly for Germany are higher.
And as you mentioned, there are other places that Russia could turn to sell some of these supplies and other exports. What other nations would Russia be looking to in that case?
China in particular, but other parts of Asia, India perhaps. Russia has trade links with India. But also, since more limited sanctions were imposed on Russia after the annexation of Crimea in 2014, they've increased their foreign exchange reserves and they've taken steps to try and diversify away from total reliance on being part of a sort of Western-run international economy. There's no doubt that any of these sanctions, you know, the West is talking about the biggest package of sanctions it has ever put together, they would hurt Russia. But you listen to Russian officials, and in public at least, they're sounding pretty bullish about how they think they could survive them.
The BBC's Chris Morris. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you very much.
Well, Russia's ruble currency has strengthened against the euro and the dollar off the back of those reports some Russian troops are heading back to their base. Checking some other numbers now. Global stock markets have reversed earlier losses on that news as well. The Pan-European Stock 600 Index is up 1% at this hour, while oil prices are easing off their multi-year highs. Brent and West Texas benchmarks are down more than 2.5% to $93 and $92 a barrel. Meanwhile, stock markets across Asia ended their session in the red today, and though much of the focus there was on Russia-Ukraine tensions, new cybersecurity measures have also come into effect in China today. They affect technology companies seeking to list their stocks overseas, as the BBC's Mariko Oi reports.
Think of a Chinese company with an online presence of a million users or more. There's a lot. And if any of them wants to go public overseas, they'll now have to go through a security review. It's part of China's clampdown on the country's tech sector. The authorities are particularly concerned about companies which hold vast amounts of data. They worry that the information could get into the hands of a foreign government, creating national security concerns. The new rules dictate when, how, and which companies need to go through a cybersecurity review.
That's the BBC's Mariko Oi reporting there. I don't know about where you are, but at least here in London, I've been noticing more and more touchscreen ordering kiosks at fast food chains and grocery stores. Some people believe that as the world becomes more automated, technology could replace humans in many kinds of jobs. In North America, robots in workplaces have jumped 40% since the start of the pandemic, including in small and medium-sized companies. The BBC's Ivana Davidovich explores what effect that's had and could have in the future.
Irina Pal owns the House of Pizza restaurant in Palm Desert, California.
To me, the pandemic brought a future here today.
She tells me that she used to get about 40 applicants a day for minimum wage jobs, like waitressing. But despite offering up to $20 an hour since the start of the pandemic, applicants have been hard to come by. And then she spotted an unconventional solution while browsing online.
Dear guest, you can enjoy your meal now.
I called it Robot Rosie, and it is very affordable. I'm paying $428 a month, which is cheaper than labor. At the moment, my robot delivers food.
The job shortages are also being acutely felt in the UK, where a combination of the pandemic, the so-called Great Resignation, and the fallout from Brexit have left companies scrambling for staff. Some robotic businesses see this situation as an opportunity. I've travelled to High Wycombe, a town northwest of London, to meet Tim Warrington from a company called Bots, and their very smart robot, which is now employed by the international waste and water management company, Veolia.
They needed to construct a water filter with several different components. Now, the problem is with humans, unfortunately, is they do make mistakes, whereas with the robot will get it the same every single time. All the time. I would see hotels, restaurants actually being the next big driver for robotics. Housekeeping, room service, bartending. And as the minimum wage starts going up, these robots will become more in line with cost effective.
Some experts I talked to are concerned that the increased use of robots could deepen economic inequality if not enough new jobs are created once pandemic-related labour shortages are out of the way. However, it seems likely that a widespread use of robots is a trend that is here to stay. I'm the BBC's Ivana Davidovich for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.